her description. These are all right out of the book. I copied them just because I want you to really get that when you go through these books, I mean, my books are underlined and little, you know, so reread these books. The shadow is parts we deny and hide and not acceptable to others, but most importantly ourselves. So it's a part that we reject. Jung said, it's the person you would rather not be. Okay? That's the easiest way to look at it. It's just like, it's this part of you that you have, and when we get to the third chakra, I'll start talking about vows a little bit. You have vowed actually not to be you. At every chakra level, you have made a vow not to be all of you. You're willing to be some of you, but there are parts in every chakra that are both evil and too angry, too dissociated, and also too angelic and too godlike. That are just like, it wasn't safe to be those things. So it's the part that you don't want to be both light and dark. The idea that the worlds are mirror and filtered through the energy field. Remember in the book she says, every one of those traits, you have to say, I am that. Okay? The reason is that when you look at the energy field here, can everybody see the energy field? Okay. Here's my eyes right there. Okay? And I'm looking out. And when I look out at something over here, let's say this is another person's energy field, okay, which is just a wave, okay? What I see had to go through my field. And when anything comes in to my vision or to my chakras or to my body or whatever it is, it has to go through my field. So you've never actually seen me the way the person sitting next to you has. You're only seeing you. You're seeing how you see men, 6 feet tall, blonde hair, whatever you describe me as, however you see me. Each one of you sees the world completely differently than anybody else. So when you realize that what you're actually doing is creating me from your memory of what a man is, what a teacher is, what a, all these things, you start realizing that you're making everything up. You're literally seeing you. You see qualities within me that are like you. My teacher and our teacher, Tony and Melinda, and my teacher, Dottie Martin, was a fantastic soul reader. And I remember sitting in students, and she would always sort of read someone's essence, and she did it in a way that was very visual. And I remember always thinking, that is such a cool thing. I would love to do that, but I totally have no idea. How would you even start learning that? And it was my light shadow. And when I realized that I had always done it, but I just saw it in her. And since I couldn't own it in me, I was able to see it in her. And not everybody else saw that in her. I mean, my classmates weren't seeing that quality of her. They were seeing their qualities in her. When you look at me, all you can see are your qualities. And when you see a quality within me that you don't like, within you, you see me as a deviant, as somebody that's dumb or somebody who's, why would he ever do that? How disorganized, God. You can never stick to time. It's like, that has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. It's all you. It's your projection. Okay? So it's really important to get that. You've never seen anything but yourself in the world. So now that what that means is that everything you see in the world is telling you who you are. The problem is that we don't know how to do that. And that's why we start with a lower self. We start embracing these things that you don't like in the world, that's totally you. The things you do like in the world, those might be you. The things that you can't be in the world because they're so unbelievable, that's you. That is you. Okay, so all the things you can't be that you see in other people, that you totally project on other people, oh, she's so much nicer than me. She's so much smarter than me. He's so much, whatever. He's a better athlete. He's better, than me. You're just talking to yourself. It's a really important thing to understand. That's the way it works. You can't see anything through your energy field that isn't you. It's all you see is your own projection out there. And the things that come to you in your world are you. They get attracted to you to wake you, that part of you up. And if you don't own these parts of you, those things come to you in droves. Those that don't own the negative side of your enforcer, you're going to be surrounded by enforcers. And wonder why. I wonder why. I'm so nice. You know, all these assholes. You know. All right. And so when you look at who shows up in your life, and as healers, if you have a healing practice, and you get like four of the same thing, that's you. That's what's up for you this week. You know, whatever it is, four neurotics, four, you know, backaches, four, you know, whatever it is, whatever chakra's up, they came because that's your issue this week. They were attracted to you. Your life comes to you specifically to show you who you are right now. What's your issue around that? Okay. We'll see ourselves in everything unless we reject those parts of ourselves. We talked about that. Okay. All right. We also talked about this. Those we see as great and better than we are also who we are. Okay? That's an essential. It's really important for you to see. Anybody who you, the exercise in there, pick three people that you really honor and respect, and then pick three people that you hate, you know, and recognize the qualities. Well, all those qualities that you rate in there are all you, okay? And you need to own that to really live at your highest level. Those people that you see in the world, that's why the media is actually so healthy for you, if you can see it from the perspective of, I'm looking at me. What you're attracted to in the media, what you're attracted to on the internet, what you're attracted to on the news, you are attracted to seeing more of you. Okay? All right. Can't know the light until we integrate the whole. And those words that I gave you on that piece of paper, you can hang on them to next year, but I want you to start looking at those in your profile and recognize that both have to exist in total for you to live your life purpose. Just let that in. You cannot have a limited shadow without lopping off the high side of you. This is the life experience. I'll lop off this much here. It instantaneously lops off this much over here. So this is the negative traits. These are the highest possible spiritual traits. These are the negative sort of human, you know, needy, narcissistic traits. These are the high altruistic traits. If I can't be these ones over here, then I can't be this over here. And so we live the safe life of controlling our feelings, controlling who we are, but it's not real. Okay, so we'll tend to be in conflict with those things. What you can't be won't let you be. She talked about the sandwich and the desk, right? You leave a sandwich, isn't that this? Can I move that? Anything you put down, anything gets lost, sort of you like pretend it's not there, it starts to rot. It starts to get angry, okay? It starts to really sort of become a problem, because she did talk about hiding the grapefruit, right? Do you remember that? Hiding the grapefruit. That if you, it's like having a shadow is like having a grapefruit that you have to hold all the time, but you can't show anybody. Okay, I can't show you. I can't. You know, and so all your energy goes into holding that, and after a while you get pissed and you get really angry. What? At the grapefruit. Rather than saying, I got a grapefruit, it's awesome. They're delicious. If you got a grapefruit, you got a grapefruit. You can't not have a grapefruit. If you got one of these qualities, you can't pretend you don't. All the will in the world does not get rid of one of your traits. You have that trait for some important spiritual reason. You have to find out why. That's why we're here, to find out why we have all these crazy traits. And you must love it, not just look at it and judge it, not just make it a mental activity, just like we did with the things tonight. You have to actually act it out, feel what it feels like. So, and what happens is that the message that we get inside is there something wrong with me? Whenever, anytime you have anytime there's a shadow, there's like a piece of you that you can't be, there's something wrong with me. Why can't I be more successful? Why can't I be more loving? Why can't I feel? Why can't I, you know, all these things, there's a piece of me that's not quite there. Okay, that's always the result of a shadow. And then the final, you know, when you ask somebody, well, do you really want to find out? And the real terror, the reason people don't look is because what if you found out? What if you found out that you really had a Hitler in you? And that you've been using it all this time and you're the only one that didn't know. You know, that you were leaving a pile of bodies behind you wherever you went. Because, and in your mind, you were just like, well, you know, they betrayed me. Well, they're dead to me. And they're dead to me. So you just didn't do it like Hitler did. But you kill people out of your life. And because they are bad people, not the right kind of people, understanding that you need to recognize that quality will never betray you when you embrace it. It will show you its gift. Okay? Hitler's gift was actually that he was unbelievably committed to his beliefs. He was very misguided and had no higher self involved. But he was working in a world that needed somebody to step forward and do something, and he didn't care how he did it, he was going to win and take over the world. And before that point, there was no model for not taking over the world. There was still, until that point, when the United Nations came together and said, by the way, we're not going to let dictators take over the world, it had never actually been thought of by humans before. So he was actually, his lower self was saying, hey, this is still on the table, I'm going for it. And the reason that he was able to do what he did was because he was actually very honest about what he was after. He did not lie to anybody. He told them exactly what he was going to do. That type of person is very dangerous when they have no higher self, but they are very motivating. So understand that that's a quality that each of you have at some level, but that it needs to be blended with the higher self quality. Okay? That also takes into the fact that we're trying to unify people, not just kill them off. Okay, three greatest mysteries in the world. Water to fish, air to birds, man unto himself. I love that quote. We learn good and bad in the second chakra. Good and bad are the lie that make you hate parts of yourself that are real. Okay, and we'll talk about the second chakra tomorrow in the afternoon. But basically, the second chakra is binary. It just learns, you know, kitty feels good, kitty scratches, yow. You know, it's just like sometimes kitty's good, sometimes kitty's bad. Sometimes mommy's good, sometimes mommy's bad. You know, you learn that. It's like it's where you go into battle with the world and have to sort of decide good and bad, and then you see yourself through that same lens. The power to change is that juice we were talking about, and this is very common. You know, for people that come into this program and do things. She mentioned that she had a friend who came and said, "I've been doing 11 years of growth work, and still hate parts of myself." And usually they don't admit that they hate parts of themselves, but they're parts of themselves that if you said, I want you to go out, and I want you to be, you know, I want you to come out, we're going to go pole dancing tonight, and we're just going to, you know, we're going to go find some sleazy guys and have some sex, okay? You know, can you imagine your friend saying that to you? If you owned the slut in you, you'd be like, that would be so great, let's go. Knowing that you would never do anything about it, but you would go in and you'd play the whole thing right down to the end and then go, you guys are idiots, and just walk away. But you would be willing to have fun with anything in your life. There's nothing off the table. That's power. Okay, Wayne Dyer talked about it, I think, from the guy perspective. You know, what would it be like wearing ladies' clothes, you know, going and being a, you know, he's so funny when he talks about that. But it's like, are you no limits or are you just a story about no limits? When you're a child, you're taught to lie with your words, and sadly, we teach our children to do that. You know, things like she talked about going up and hugging, you know, aunt, whoever, and it's like you go up and go, you know, children are like, no, I know, that is, you know, you go hug her. She's your grandmother. I love you. Yeah. Eddie Murphy always talked about his aunt with a hair lip, and it was always like, no, not that. And it's like, you get up there and you talk to her. And we do that to them, and we do that in 1,000 different ways. And so we learn not to actually show people how we feel. And then she talks about later in life, we don't show people that we have eating disorders, alcoholism, and all the secondary pleasures. If we can have the pleasure of being whole, we have to find secondary pleasures to fill those empty gaps. Okay? So we're going to talk, once again, we're going to talk about the second chakra tomorrow. We're going to be talking about primary and secondary pleasure. The primary pleasure is always just being you. If you can't be you, you're going to fill that hole with something. And it's a huge hole. So it's going to be relationships, it's going to be alcohol, it's going to be drugs, it's going to be arguing, battling, whatever it is that you're going to do. But secondary pleasures are things that you have to fill that gap somehow. And the lies about who I am become my sense of self as a child and as a teenager, and then eventually I just can't, because I've been holding my energy back for so long, it just becomes who I am. The mask becomes who you are. And that's when we get you here and we say, can you see your defensive, can you see your defense in this? Can you see that aloofness or that pushiness? Do you remember the castle part of the book? The castle analogy where she...
All the different rooms,
right. Where everybody's born with a huge mansion. And I use the silly example of one of those mansions as a little baby is when you play with your poop. One of those rooms, it's the poop room. When nobody's looking, get in that. It's good. On the walls, painting. How fast does that get shut down? Boarded up forever. Right? I mean, think about all the rooms you had, all the infinite possibility you had, and how normal you were supposed to be within your family. Even if you had a great family, there was an expected level of behavior and you know, just whatever was normal to your family is not actually human. It's just normal. Normal is as nuts as you can get. There was a great, House was on the other night, and he actually has this, he's always trying to find how people are deviant and everything, and he had a doctor working for him that she had the totally, you know, wealthy, normal upbringing, and, you know, and she's out working for House. You know, and he's like, nobody comes here and works for me unless they got real problems. So what happened in your childhood? And it was that she had such a normal childhood, she literally ran away from home. Because it's so unnormal to be normal. You had a question? How about you say, I don't agree with most of it, but there might be something that's going to sneak in. So go ahead.
What happened is that if we were not to have been raised with certain, whatever you want to call it, rules put into place.
I know. That's the evil Antichrist. I get it. For the rule keeper, when I say rules don't count to a rule keeper, this is fighting words. Can you feel what's happening inside of you?
Yes.
Okay. It's all you have to hold on to. And I'm just pulling the rug right out from underneath you. So it's okay. Keep your rules. Let go of one a day. You've got a million. One a day is not going to hurt. Okay? Just notice that some of them aren't helping you move forward in your life. Okay? Okay. All right. And let me let you know that none of them are helping you move forward in life. Because every rule we have is abutted by... the rest of the rules. Okay, it's 8:30. All right. So we'll finish up here, and then we'll do some bowls. You will never be satisfied with anybody you weren't born to be. We talk about that in the life purpose. Okay, ever. You cannot, and this is important for all of you empaths, you cannot be empathetic to anything or anyone you do not accept in yourself. But can you let that in? Okay? Anything, any part of you that you can't accept in yourself, when you say, oh, you poor thing, let me just help you with this, you should walk away from that person. You are going to do them a huge disservice. Because while you're doing that, you are simultaneously judging them. And nobody needs to be judged, especially around a big problem. If you can't own what they're doing in your life, you can't heal them. Okay? And that's the problem with being a healer. If you really want to be a healer in the world, you have to be fearless at every level. You have to be willing to. And when someone comes to you who's got a huge problem that you clearly stand in judgment of within yourself, but it's okay for them because I'm good with that, that's not healing. And it won't work. You might get a healing that will make them feel a little better for a few minutes, but it won't heal them. They'll come back in a week and it'll be right back 100%. The healing would be, we share that. That's why you came to me. I haven't really looked at it very closely, but I'm going to start looking at it tonight. And then you can actually do your work. It's really important to understand that. There's no empathy for things you have no empathy for in yourself. All right, and now we get to the bus. There's more here, and we can, if we get to it the rest of the weekend, or you can come up and take notes on this. We're going to do a bus trip tonight with the Bowls, okay? And you're going to go for a light and a dark element. And we're going to do the bus trip a la Reese, okay? All right? I find the bus trip, the way she describes it in the book is excellent. It's a great way to start. I want you to go in, and I want you to look for an open seat, all right? You're going to come off that bus with somebody. Some of you wrote in like, nobody wanted to come off the bus. Not an option, okay? Someone's coming off this damn bus with me, all right? And when you can't get someone to come off the bus with you, it's your own resistance. Right? And so you got to make your mind up. You have to be willing to see, look deeper into yourself. Nobody coming off the bus means I don't want to look. You got to look. Okay? Find the open seat, sit down, and do not look at what's next to you because it does not have to be human. It can be horrific. Okay? And sneak a peek. Once you see what you're sitting next to, who you're sitting next to, okay? And it could be just a, you know, crazy, frumpy person, or it could be, you know, it could be a god, it could be Jesus, you know? But if Jesus shows up twice, you are making it up. So what you're going to do is you are going to ask them, are they ready to come off the bus, or do they have something to tell you there? Let them talk. Do not dishonor them by just saying, look, you're my person, get off the bus with me. Talk to them like a human being, like whatever it is, no matter how much it scares you, no matter what's going on, you say, are you ready, you know, are you ready to talk to me? On the bus, they're pissed. Doesn't matter whether they're Jesus or what. Jesus is like, you stuck me on this goddamn bus, you jerk. Jesus talks like that. to me, anyway. and... You know, and the devil's the same thing. It's like, man, I'm the funnest thing in your life, and you stuck me on this damn bus. What is your problem? Right, and they're having a party on the bus. But until you let them off the bus, they're not really going to talk to you because on the bus means you're still judging them. The bus is your own jail for yourself. So the first thing you need to do is you need to look at what's sitting next to you, and you have to acknowledge, that's me. I am that, whatever it is. Then you have to ask them, are you ready to come? Because it's a fragmented part of you, so you don't really associate with it. It's something you've tried to dissociate from for a long time. Do you want to come off the bus? Yes. Come off the bus. Sit on the bench right outside the bus. Don't go wandering away. Just sit out right outside the bus. If you've got to go back on and get another person, you know, you do that. All right, now, sometimes when they come off the bus, they change. Not all the time, but sometimes they'll change shape. They'll be something else. But whatever they come out as, you need to ask them, first of all, how in my life am I you? That's the first thing. Get that you are them. They'll show you. They'll tell you exactly when and how you do that behavior, that thing that they represent. Okay? All right? And so you have to ask them their name. Don't just name them. Ask them what their name is. Feel what their, what, and well, the fastest way to find out what their name is to call them something you want to call them. Okay? And then they're going to go, you're an idiot. My name is, and they'll demand that they be called something. Yes?
Are they going back on the bus?
And we'll talk about that. So if they don't, if they won't name them, you want to name them so you can write it down later. Okay? At least name them so you can kind of get the feel for it. But they should tell you their name. See them as you. Let go of your fear of being that. And then ask them, what's the gift in that? Okay? So my asshole, you know, that my enforcer asshole quality within me, which I demonstrated here a little while ago, is unbelievably good when someone is fucking with me. When someone is saying, you know, when someone is charging me too much for something, is you know, messing with my family, is doing something, just being shifty, you know, that, and it comes out in a lot different ways than that too. It can be underhand, it can be this, but it's going to be like, I'm getting you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to win because this is really important that you get that I will not let you abuse me or my family or anything in my life. Okay? And you got to step up to that. All right? And they'll tell you, you need this quality at this time, and you need to recognize, you need to call it up and be conscious of it. Don't just let it blurt. Okay? And then the last part of it is, and for right now, you let them go back on the bus, okay? Because, you know, you probably need to sort of process that a little bit. But ultimately, you need to get them off the bus. That's why I want you to, you should be doing this over and over and over again. And you need to decide, are you ready to be that, are you ready to embrace that quality within yourself? And if you are, you can get them off the bus. And I did this for years and years, and what happens is that the bus that I started going on was like this, it was always a school bus for some reason, not a Greyhound, nothing comfortable, it was like a school bus. And it was like broken down, broken windows, and dark and dirty. And after I started getting more and more of the people off the bus and started enjoying my lower self more, I would go down there and the bus is shinier. It's like the wheels are blown up. You know, it's like, it's all of a sudden there's this quality, and these energies aren't on the bus. They're around, and you can access them. You can go down in that same area and sit with them. They'll powwow with you. Okay? So I'll talk you through it. It's not going to take long to do the bus trip. Anybody not do the bus trip yet? Okay. All right. So just follow along. Highly recommend that you practice, once we do this weekend, practice it over and over and over. These subpersonalities are much, much better than the therapist, because they show up and they tell you what you need to know about you, okay, directly. You may not want to know. Yes? What do we got time-wise? We could do it in your chairs, yeah. Why, everybody just stand up and shake for a minute. Just let's... Tony, you want to move them around? And I'll get the bowls. Ha ha ha!